Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome, yet again, to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Silver Saucer Pod with the ruby red cap of endless power that propels it through the darkness of both space and consciousness in this Kali Yuga, where darkness is the norm and abnormality is the sanity of madness ritualized into a conformity of redundant consistency. As if one had made a Turkish taffy sweet out of the substance of blue boards. And now it's available in stores everywhere, located and sold to you by smiling clerks who've already taken a pound box home to their families and are most definitely in a position to recommend it. My apologies that, once again, the sound quality of this recording leaves a great deal to be desired. My main computer has been affected by its transport across the waters and won't boot, so I have to take it into a tech on Monday. Things have been moving very slowly here, slower than I've ever seen anywhere in the first world, second world, third world, or even further down the list. I don't know if it is always this way here or if it is only this way because of me. As if there were a point being made, but I don't know what that is. The world outside continues to rotate around a black hole generated by the force of billions of minds caught up in a tornado of materialism, which has also generated the tornado as well. I'm not sure how it ends, at least not in terms of the details. I expect those whirling in the tornado will eventually be sucked into the black hole, given that a black hole is a great deal more powerful than a tornado. The tornado is what got them there, and the black hole is the where that it got to. Like a black hole, all the light got sucked out of all existence that got sucked into it, and I am guessing that it is one side of the equation, like a Mobius strip, and on the other side it remanifests as a reconstituted environment filled with life forms who have forgotten all about how they came to be there. I'm probably a little afield in terms of precision concerning what I just said, but whatever it is that happens and happened is somewhat like this. I traveled a lot of places in this life, much less than others, of course, but probably more than most people, and I have met a lot of people. Some of them I've interacted with, and some of them I've avoided, or should have avoided, or wished I had avoided, but That's life during the times before you get a reasonable grasp of it all. Which I think took me longer than many people because I left the door open on a lot of things that most people closed the door on much earlier or never even came across to begin with. What I have discovered is that most people are not all that concerned with the mysteries of the universe and the origin of all things, and when they are, they opt for the traditional and fundamentalist view on things, which is an impenetrable wall of darkness as far as the luminous light of divine consciousness goes. And as for the rest, they get caught up in crazy extremes of belief, of which cults are often a good source of access for. It is rare to encounter another soul that has dedicated itself to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And as I have also discovered over time, the majority of these fall to the wayside, victims of compromise or some compelling appetite that got in under their guard. This is one reason I find myself today living alone in a round building in the jungle, pressing on as ever I have, probably more so or at least as much as I ever have, to an unbreakable alliance with the source of all things, seeking to evict all inimical entities and forces from within and without, seeking to manifest a golden ring of protection from any and all of these, and praying each and every day that the ineffable will seal the door where evil dwells and by which it enters. I find myself on a frontier of consciousness, wherein I am absolutely straight, and there's no quick route that I can see that will transport me into the upper reaches, like the booster rockets I have so often employed to take me to these upper reaches. This doesn't mean I've made some lasting decision about it all, or put these things aside. I haven't. I'm simply working to experience it from this place for the moment and see how that motivates and manifests. I don't think this decision has been my own. I believe it is an expression of the ineffable because for some while, not a long time, but some while, I felt that something is going to happen that changes everything in a way it can never return from again. I do not know if this is something that is slated for the whole of existence or only just for me and those like me. It might be that it is all for all of us, but it will express itself differently on an individual level, all dependent on where each of us are. It seems to me that it is a lot like being in somewhere like Grand Central Station, where trains are leaving every few minutes in all directions. It could be like an international airport, and instead of trains, it is planes. The trains and planes have been coming and going for a long time, decades, and they always follow the same courses and wind up in the same places that the conductors and pilots steer them to. Clackety, clackety, clack go the trains. Vroom, vroom, vroom go the planes. Day and night to their predictable destinations. And then, one day there is a flash of light accompanied by sounds never heard before, and the journeys and destinations are all changed and a new course is set for every form of conveyance that had previously gone here and there, except on those rare occasions when they crashed or wouldn't go anymore. This time, on their new course, they will not be coming back. By ways and means mysterious to the ordinary mind, everything is changed in the blink of an eye, in the wink of an eye, just like Scripture tells us it will. It doesn't tell us when. It says something about coming like a wolf in a night. We are passing into a new age. It is not just any new age, like those that come and go one after the other. This is the end and beginning. Excuse me. This is the end and beginning of a grand cycle, and if you don't make the jump, if you don't catch the right train or plane, you get 26,000 years of returns here in this material theater of the fire of desire expressing itself in flesh until it burns itself over and over and over out again. For some, this is a choice they make over and over again because they have so much unfinished business here. It's not for me. I don't want anything more here. There are places to go, other places than here. Out there in the cosmos, or in there as you may prefer, are countless shining worlds. In the Hindu tradition, they call them lokas. There are also countless worlds of darkness and degrees of darkness, of strange and inhospitable temperatures and creatures out of a diseased imagination. You get to these places by the fruits of your work. These shining worlds, these worlds that I would rather focus on, await the determined and committed pursuit of the light of truth, which is the illumination in these worlds. And the darkness in the other worlds is also caused by mental and emotional qualities like ignorance, and low-level mindsets that have overpowered the minds of those sent there. When they are reborn in this world again, they are born into conditions that have particular percentages of the darkness they must work their way out of or not. To a limited consciousness, it is near impossible to grasp the reasons for why this world is the way that it is. It is not always the way that we see it now. Sometimes it is a much brighter place. Sometimes it is a darker place. The conditions here come and go, accommodating them to the needs of the souls that are present. When I mention these needs, I am referring to the inexorable working out of the karma for which this world exists. As much as this is a prison planet, where everyone is bound by greater or lesser amounts of karma, chained together in increments of time and gravity, this is also the world in which one is able to engineer their escape from this world. You do not achieve this when you are resident in luminous worlds or the worlds of darkness. There are places of reward or punishment. That's what these are. And one's residency in any of them is time-sensitive. Sooner or later, you have to come back here because it is only while you are here that you can free yourself from the need to return here again and again and again. Of course, there are always exceptions to this. The grace of God can accomplish anything it wills to be so, and one can be instantly transported from worlds of darkness and luminous worlds to worlds far more luminous and from which one does not have to return. But these are truly rare exceptions and not something one must hope for or rely on. No one has at any time known the mind of God. This is an unsolvable and impenetrable mystery. What we know of God is only what God has made it possible for us to know. The same is true of our evolutions through the karmas of this zone. Should we be fortunate enough to have made the acquaintance of one who is liberated, it is their decision whether we ourselves should be liberated. Of course, much depends on what we do and on the intensity of our aspiration and the zeal we employ. Much depends on our karma and the degrees to which we cooperate in having it lifted from our backs. It is a difficult science to make oneself aware of. It requires a degree of exceptionalism that is very seldom seen here, and especially in times like the one we presently find ourselves in. On the other hand, help is readily available in this time because all of the angels of the ineffable have come near to the earth, except for those who haven't, in order to help those in the human and other kingdoms with the trials they are facing. The force of evil is very strong because the environment is decidedly material. My personal definition of good and evil is that which draws us to the divine and that which obstructs us or leads us away from the divine. It could also be expressed as that which panders to the false self and that which motivates us to pursue the true self. I try to see everything in the context of the divine because to me nothing is more important than that, and if you do not realize that in the present, you will most certainly realize it later on. The primary problem for most people is that they seek to define what God is, and that is impossible. So they set the parameters for the being and personality of God according to their own idea of what it should be, and thus they limit and constrain the God that God has for us. The good that God has for us. And we should know what that then also identifies us as, a limiter of God's grace, and is not that the very job description of that which is interpreted under the title of the devil, which we also imperfectly understand as well. We are our own worst enemy, and this is because of the nature of our relationship with our own mind. Our mind is either our very best friend or our worst enemy. And which of these we experience is directly caused by who it is that controls our minds, functions, and focus. If your carriage is being drawn by runaway horses, what is the likely result of that? It is, at the same time, one of the simplest and most difficult of actions to control the mind. That is due to the level of commitment being exercised. If you are committed, it can be a breeze. If you are not, it won't get done. You have to stand guard at the gateway of the mind and consciously permit and deny entrance through the use of discrimination. It goes without saying, even though I just said it, that discrimination is a very important possession to have. One of the ways to acquire it is to meditate on the 14th trump called temperance. This, in time, will activate the archetype in the subconscious and bring it forth into action on your behalf. We're here to learn. We learn and we suffer accordingly. I speak from experience on this matter, and I wasn't the quick learner I should have been, and I suffered accordingly. In some cases, I suffered regardless, and I can only presume it was for the purpose of demonstration, And part of that demonstration was to show me that everything I require is provided by the ineffable. I lost a significant portion of my start-over capital by going somewhere that did not work out for me. Along with that, I had a good amount of money stolen from me by someone who was supposed to be a friend and who was not. I am here now, and I came to discover that several boxes I had shipped had been broken open and possessions stolen from them. I don't even know all that got taken, and I suppose there is a message in that, too. If you can't even remember what it is that you lost, how important could it have been? So it goes, my friends. So it goes. Well, we have come to the end of another broadcast. And I will see you next week if there is one. In the interim, stand guard at the gateway of the mind and allow nothing to enter that you do not wish to have enter. Seek the help and guidance of the ineffable as often as the thought occurs, and make it an effort to see that the thought occurs by seeking after it as a primary discipline in your life. That said, hail Lord Jesus Christ, Hare Krishna, La ilaha il alahu. Much love, Lady Nature. Greetings, my dear friend Ganesha. Om Amitabha. Carry on, Bahawala. Aloha and Haru. Haru.
Got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when it gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.